John finished there with the question, who was this baby? It's a great question, isn't it? We get to Christmas and we're talking about who was this baby. Kids, who was this baby that we've been talking about today? Beth, you got your hand up. Baby Jesus, that's right. And I just wanted to talk just for a few minutes just about who baby Jesus was. Just imagine for a minute that an alien walked through the door right now and saw us all standing here doing this wonderful nativity scene and said, what on earth is this all about? And we said, well, it's about this baby Jesus. And I said, tell me about baby Jesus. I just wonder, what would you say to that alien? What would you tell them? Who would you say this baby was? Why are we all here today talking about baby Jesus? And that's the question I want to ask. I think it's a very obvious question because ultimately that's why we're here. That's what we're talking about today. It's baby Jesus and Christmas. But actually, I think we forget to ask that question, who was this baby? And the reason we do that is because we get so familiar with the Christmas story and the nostalgia and the festivities and looking forward to everything. And we've grown up in a country perhaps where maybe not all of us have, but many of us will have grown up with this story and heard it over and over again. And yet we can sometimes forget the most important question. And that question is, who was this baby? And what does he mean for us today? I mean, just think about this Christmas story. I mean, here we are in the year 2019, and we're still talking about the life of a teenage virgin peasant girl who over 2,000 years ago got pregnant out of wedlock in a very religious society. They'd have kicked her out on the street, and she really would have just been a nothing. In fact, they wouldn't let her into the inn because of the shame that was associated with her condition. So that's why she had a baby in a stable. I mean, isn't it strange that 2,000 years later, we're still discussing this story? I wonder if there's something more significant that sometimes we miss. You see, I don't think it was this sort of immaculate, warm stable, you know, with this clean straw and the beautiful animals just sort of gently mooing beside the baby. Actually, I think it would have been a bit stinky and smelly. Has anyone ever been to see the cows on a farm? It's a bit smelly sometimes, isn't it? I think that's what baby Jesus' stable would have been like. And yet we kind of imagine it, don't we, with all the nostalgia and the wonderful warm feelings and everything was so perfect. I think baby Jesus would have probably had a nappy. And that would have been a bit stinky sometimes as well. He was a little baby after. I don't think he had a warm glow, which we sometimes see going on there. And yet there was something special about him. I mean, who would want to be born in a stable? Anyone want to be born in a stable? Imagine the infection risks and things like that, you know, this day and age. Well, the story gets stranger because we also discover, as we've heard, that there were angels appearing. And again, you see someone like Clive, this great, amazing angel appearing. And actually, I think when you hear the Bible describing angels, quite often people just fell to their feet. It was an awesome sight. And yet again, we see the angel and we have a laugh. And we think, actually, the story tells us that this really happened. Angels appeared and began speaking to people. What was that like for them? And then we hear the angels speaking to Mary and the shepherds, and then these rich intellectual astrologers from the East, the wonderful wise men and girls and boys that came across on their camels. They traveled hundreds, if not thousands, of miles following a star that appeared in the sky, expecting to find a royal child, the baby of a king. They went to the palace. And where do they end up? They ended up at this place called Bethlehem, this kind of place in the backwaters of Israel. And yet, somehow they knew they were seeing this special baby. So we ask again, who was this baby? But the other thing that's really strange is at Christmas, we often hear things read out. Let me give you a couple of verses and see if you've heard this before. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Well, how about this one? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Have you heard those passages before at the Christmas story? Did you know they were written 600 or 700 years before Jesus was even born? And yet when we hear them, we just link it to the Christmas story. It's phenomenal that this was predicted And we have historical texts that any historian, not a Christian one, but any historian would say, yeah, that was written then, and Jesus was born then. And yet we find so much of what's in the Bible in the Old Testament predicts what is to come, and we take these things for granted and just associate them and get these warm feelings, and yeah, actually there's something really special going on with this baby. But I think what's even stranger than that is what this baby did to the world. That 2,000 years later, I would argue gladly with anyone that Jesus has had a bigger impact on this entire world that we live in than any other human being that has ever lived. And yet he died in his 30s. He hadn't done a great deal. He'd never even left Israel, or at least that area. And he died on a Roman cross. And yet here we are again, 2019, and we're still talking about him today. So I ask again, who was this baby? Well, the Bible very clearly tells us the answer to that question. And sometimes that gets a bit tricky, because the Bible tells us that this baby was God. It's such a weird story to believe, isn't it? That God in heaven, who created the heavens and the earth, comes to us humans, to this world, as a baby in a manger. And yet that is the message of Christianity. It's such a weird and strange story, but we're so used to hearing it that we don't realize how strange it actually is. And you know what? Who would ever believe in a story like this in this day and age? Well, I want to tell you that I do. And I want to suggest that the only way I could ever believe in something so ridiculous as that story was if it was true, and if it could be proven to be true. You see, if it's not true, then it's really quite a terrible story, isn't it? I mean, let's face it, if we're going to make up a story about God, we're going to do it like the Romans and the Greeks did, aren't we? It's going to be more of a superhero, I'm thinking. So God comes to earth, he's powerful, he has control over everything. He's not just this humble baby in a manger that dies on a cross. You see, the message of Christianity at Christmas is not just a nice sentimental story that invokes feelings of nostalgia, although often we make it that way. But rather, Christmas was when God gave the world a very unexpected gift. Would anyone like to receive an unexpected gift today? Who likes presents? Someone with their hand up. Who's got their hand up high? How about Kiara? Why don't you come and receive an unexpected present? Do you want to come here? No, okay, someone else. You stop running, you're one of mine. Fred, come on, you come and do it because you're going to be helpful with this. I love an unexpected present. Here you go, Fred. Happy Christmas. Would you like to open it? See, I think Christianity is a little bit like this. We get this wonderful gift, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute. And actually, God gives it to us freely. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. And yet he offers us the gift of Jesus. But when Jesus comes into our lives, it changes us. And actually, if you open that up, Fred, what's inside? Let me help you there. This was always going to go wrong, wasn't it? So inside, what we find is that the gift enables us to go and bless other people with gifts. Why don't you go and bless some people with those gifts? So Fred's going to do that, but the good thing is that the gifts keep on coming. So who else can go and bless people with gifts? And the more we give out, the more gives us to give out to others. Kids, I want you to run around and give everyone a sweet. I should have thought this through. Right, give them out, kids. Make sure the grown-ups get one. This is going to cause mayhem. Now, adults, I want you to focus. The kids are going to be delivering sweets. Everyone's going to get one. One sweet each. I'm just going to lose everyone, aren't I? Stay with me on this. You see, God gives us this unexpected gift of Jesus. Yes. Go with Grandma. Thank you. God gives us this unexpected gift of Jesus. And as we heard, his name was the Prince of Peace, or one of his names. And I think there's a truth, isn't there? There are two things that all of us long for, and that is hope and peace. You see, and I think that is the unexpected gift that Jesus gives us this Christmas, is hope and peace. I mean, just think about your own ideas leading up to Wednesday. What's going on in your world at the moment? Are you planning ahead? You've got this kind of awesome vision of turkeys being perfectly cooked, you know, like the M&S advert. You've got this wonderful food everywhere. You've got a lovely fire. All the family are there. Even those annoying cousins that always cause mayhem, and yet on Christmas Day, they're just going to be wonderfully behaved. The kids are going to open their presents and say, "Oh, Father, this is just what I wanted. You're so thoughtful to give me this one gift." It's like we imagine this wonderful, immaculate day, don't we, where everything's going to come together, all our dreams are going to come true, and there's something within us. Thank you. I'll take one of those. There's something within every one of us that just longs for this sense of peace and harmony with those around us. And the sense of hope and longing for something better to come. And I believe God has put that inside of us. You see, we have this gospel message as Christians. And the reality is that we live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. I know on Christmas morning my kids are going to get up at 4 o'clock. And it doesn't matter how many presents I give them. By the end of the day, they're still going to want more. They're going to create turmoil. I'm probably going to burn the food. At least one part of it. I'll probably leave something in the microwave, because I normally do. I'll probably have an argument with Catherine at some point, just because it'll be a stressful day. And I'll probably have about 4 hours of washing up after I've spent 6 hours cooking beforehand. And I'll probably wake up the next day wishing that it hadn't really happened in the first place. Now, I think that's more like the reality of Christmas, and yet there's something in us, isn't there, that longs for this perfect day. But actually, I think that's a good thing. I think that's something that God has put inside the heart of every human being. And the thing that we long for more than anything is peace. You see, the Bible tells us that we were actually made to have a relationship with the God who created us. That actually that feeling and that desire of peace is a good one. And the peace that we actually long for is peace in our relationship with the God who made us. But the Bible also tells us that sin has come into the world. And it's broken that peace, that relationship that we would have once had with our Father in heaven. And there's sin in the heart of every human being. And that sin separates us from God, and it separates us from each other. And it causes this brokenness and this longing for something better. And we also hear from the Bible that the wages of sin are death. That there's this sense of a holy God who judges sin because he's a God of justice. And so the message of Christianity, the gospel, is that this baby born in a wooden manger would one day stand and die and be hung on a wooden cross. And that actually this baby was God. And that he would live the life that we couldn't live, that you and I couldn't live, where we've fallen short, where we've done things that we shouldn't have done, where we haven't done things that we should have done. We all struggle with that. Just part of our human experience. But God himself sends his only son to come and live the life he promised him before, the moment sin came into the world, and says he will one day rescue us. And he sends his son Jesus to die on a cross, which is the message of Easter. That we read that Jesus, he lived the sinless life that we couldn't live, and he died the death that we should have died. And the Bible tells us that if we put our faith in him, if we repent of our sin and accept Jesus, that God will punish him for our sin and give us his righteousness. And it's this wonderful truth, and that changes us. As I said, at Easter we celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection because the grave could not hold him, it says, because he was without sin. And so Jesus overcomes death, promising us an eternal life, which again is in the heart of every human being, is that we know that death is wrong and that we should live for more than this. And we read that the church began when Jesus' resurrection happened and so many witnesses saw it. And that this one man led to something that was going to completely transform the world. You see, it says in the Bible that for those that put their faith in him will find peace with God and will spend an eternity with him after this life. That's the hope that we have as Christians. That's the hope that we want to tell the world about. That is the good news of the gospel. That God came down to us, became one of us, so that he could rescue us. And he offers that unexpected gift to every one of us today. So that's why we're still talking about who this baby is today. It's Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the unexpected gift from God to the world. God offers you the gift of his Son as well. And the real question we should be asking ourselves this Christmas is, what do we want to do with that gift? Would you accept Jesus and have your life transformed? Or is it just part of another story? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for Jesus. I thank you for this time of year as we celebrate his birth, his life. Lord, what an incredible story, Lord. How on earth could it not be true that this tiny baby in a manger, born to a woman that was shamed and scorned, yet went on to transform the world so that you could rescue the world from sin, from death, and bring us into your church, into your family for eternity. Father, I pray, will you reveal the truth of this message to people's lives today in the same way that you did in my life? And will you bring that wonderful transformation that hope and peace, real peace with you, brings? In Jesus' name, amen.